Today on Real Radio.
It's probably happening to some here tonight, if not in the very near future. Some of you are going through it right now, looking around here. In fact, I'm sure of it, looking around here. It's a difficult, terrible thing. It's a curse almost. But it must happen, and that is that all of us at one point in time have to go through being a teenager. It's a difficult thing, and listen, some of the symptoms are these. I jotted a few down.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring chapter 3 and looking at its last few verses. Paul, the letter's author, breaks into what we refer to as a doxology, a spontaneous outburst of worship that comes from the depths of the heart. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called A Prayer for Power.
Paul says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is part 4 of the message that we're calling A Prayer for Power. And we need the power. The more we walk in our Christian walk, we need the power. And if you're just entering into your Christian experience, you need the power. And till the day that we die, we are going to need the power of the Lord to be successful in our Christian journey. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I think you have. I think everybody will recognize this. But there's something terribly wrong that goes on with each and every one of us in our lives. Horribly wrong. And it's happened to most of us here. It's probably happening to some here tonight, if not in the very near future. Some of you are going through it right now, looking around here. In fact, I'm sure of it, looking around here. It's a difficult, terrible thing. It's a curse almost. But it must happen, and that is that all of us at one point in time have to go through being a teenager. It's a difficult thing. And listen, some of the symptoms are these. I jotted a few down. Unbelievable self-deception. Unbelievable self-deception. Because what happens when you're a teenager, you begin to think, you know what? The world was created for me. When you were a little tiny tot, you thought it was created for you. And then when you got to be like maybe 9, 10, 11, you realized, you know, I'm just nothing in the world. And then, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you're thinking, it was truly created for me. Everything that is for me. And to make me happy. One of the other symptoms is that they begin to think that we all thought at one point in time, if you're on your way there, you'll think soon, I am God's gift to the world. Another symptom is, how could my parents be so incredibly stupid? Don't they recognize what stature of human being I am in their presence? And it's funny, the older I get, the smarter my parents become. I'm saying things now that my parents used to say to me. Things that I heard back then, I said to myself, I'll never say that. And now I'm saying it 3-4 times a day. But when you're in that teenage period of time, you're thinking, I possess all knowledge. And you really can't tell them anything. even if it's to their own hurt. Have you noticed? Listen, honey, don't do that. You're really going to regret it. Oh, come on. All my friends, they said they've done it, and it's okay. And I'm just going to take this fork and put it right here in the toaster. It's fine. You can't tell them a thing. But thank God for most, listen, not all, for most people, you outgrow that period of time. You get enough scars, you get enough bruises, you get enough skinned up knees, and you come to the reality, you come to the point, hey, I've just got to find my place in the world. I'm not God's gift. We've got to work together as a team, and I have now begun to recognize some of my faults, and you begin to really grow up. But you know, not all people come out of that insanity. There are those people who begin to think, hey, now that I'm a Christian, or maybe they've carried their previous life into their Christianity, I can do this thing. Oh, pastor, let me head that up. I'll do it better than anybody. And if you hear things like that, either from your friends around you, or you yourself are saying those things, I can do it better than the whole rest of the church. Oh boy, are you in your adolescent, teenage, early, young adult stage of your Christianity? Thank you, God. It's you and me against the world. And the more you live with Christ, the more you begin to find out, hey, Jesus, you just stay up there in the front lines, will you? I'll stay back here in the shadows because I can't do anything. I'm incapable. Self-confidence to the Christian is the absolute first step to destruction for the believer. When we become self-assured and self-reliant, Jesus is such an awesome gentleman, he'll just fold his arms and step back and let you go right on ahead. He'll let you take the whole team right out of the edge and like a bunch of lemmings go right off the cliff to teach us a lesson. He's like that because he knows, like some of the horses that you might see here in Chino Hills and the little colts and all, and they go to break them. The first thing they do is strap a saddle onto them. And they go bananas. What are they saying? Get off my back. I can do my own thing. Don't try to control me. They put the bridle and the bit in the horse's mouth. Hey, and they're spitting and their tongue is going 100 miles an hour trying to push the thing out. I'm in control. And after a while, that ranch hand or whoever you might be continues on and breaks the will of that animal. And in Christianity, we need to remember, we need to realize, some of us maybe tonight need to recognize that it is God who is all awesome, not us. We can get so wrapped up in our Christianese, speaking our Christianese and doing our Christianized thing and driving our Christian car around our Christian community and begin to think, well, you know, the world's, it's pretty good. Listen. We need daily to be in absolute dependence upon the Lord. And not be so, I think, enamored with the little things that we might have around us. We need His power. Are we tonight absolutely dependent upon God? Is there something going on in your life tonight that if God does not come through, you don't know what you're going to do? I can raise my hand to that. In the next few days, we're going to be at 41,000 feet with a team going to Germany. And just by nature, they're going to be looking to me because I've been abroad so many times and we've done so many outreaches. They're going to look at me to like, what do we do? And then I'm going to, with as much as class as I can, fall on my face or fall to my knees and look up and say, what do we do? God help. And yet every time he's come through tremendously. I fear the day that in any of us, in any ministry that we might be involved in, we begin to think or say, hey, God, you can probably take today off. I got it covered for you. How many Sundays have we done? You can just take it easy. Man, if that ever enters our mind. Like I said, I was with some pastors this week, and you begin to think, and you're hearing, and you're talking, and you're hearing what's going on in lives, and some of these guys have been teaching forever. And you're always amazed to find out, you know, you ask them, well, how are you right before the service? And it's, man, I'm sick to my stomach. Really, you've been doing it all these years. Oh, man, it's getting worse. I mean, I can't even eat. I'm so nervous. And what? How about you? I go, yeah, I'm terribly nervous. I'm sick. I can't eat. I don't eat until Sunday night because I'm freaking out before the message. I'm so anxious and wondering, this is what I'm thinking on Sunday morning. God, are you coming to church today? That's my thought. God, are you going to be there? Because if you're not there, I don't even want to show up. But may God help us if we ever become so self-dependent and self-reliant. He doesn't want that to happen. That's why Paul says in verse 20, now to him who is able. Able. The word means all ability. God has all ability. Now unto him who has all ability. Well, what do you do in the body of Christ? What service do you perform in the body of Christ? Praise the Lord for that. It is him who enables you to do it. Oh, Jack, I want to really do this, I want to do that, but I don't think I can. Listen, you cannot do it. It's not a physical thing that you stand up there and greet people. Did you know that? When you stand up there and greet people on Sunday mornings and shake their hand and give them a hug, you are not doing a physical work. You may be touching them physically, but you are warming the hearts of somebody. It's a spiritual thing. I don't know if I can greet somebody. Listen, I love when someone says, I don't know if I can be a greeter. Why? I don't know, you know, can I be faithful to that? Can I convey the love of Christ? Hey, I love that kind of thinking because God sees where your heart is and he comes through for you. He'll fill up your heart with love for them. But the moment you walk out there and say, hey, I'm the greeter, you're going to turn people off. Why? You're doing it in your own strength. He says, now unto him who is able. And in this verse of Ephesians 3:20 is the greatest collection of superlatives in all of the Bible. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Everything. Beyond what your imagination can concoct. He says, I'll do more. Why is he making this statement to us? Paul is calling our attention to the adequacy of God. Whenever we're in the presence of the Lord in our living day by day, in our worship, like hopefully we were worshiping him tonight, we are to decrease as he increases. When we worship God, thou art holy, I am not. Lord, thou who inhabits eternity, I am a frail, finite being. God, how great thou art, how I am not. That's what causes our worship to be so meaningful, is we recognize how awesome he is. Now unto him who is able. And a few things I want to point out to you with the little bit of time that we have. Jot it down. Think about this. God has unlimited abilities. Unlimited abilities. In Romans 15:4. The scripture says, for whatever things were written before, that is the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Why do you think we should be reading the Old Testament? So that we might have patience and hope. We read about Job so that we might have patience and hope. We read about Elijah in the Old Testament so we might have boldness and conviction. We read about Jeremiah so we can tell our youth, hey, this guy was 15 years old. What's your problem? No, this guy was 15 years old. He proclaimed the word of God. God used him, and God will use you, son, daughter. These things were written for our learning, that we might have hope in God. Over every experience that we have in our lives right now, in the future, These things were written for our learning. And our learning is this. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Paul is getting us to think this thought. Whatever the world can launch against us, God is greater than the world. I needed to hear that tonight. You know, you want to, don't you? You're a Christian. You want to walk with God. Isn't it in your heart to keep all the commandments of the Lord? Isn't it in your heart to walk on water, to raise the dead, to give all that you have? It's in your heart. Isn't it in your heart to have a church that touches the world? We know that through evangelism and missionary venture, and when we say missionary venture in this church, we're talking about the parking lot of this church. Outside the threshold of these doors, that's the mission field. That's where we all live. So just for the record, we're not thinking about, you know, banana trees and big insects and snakes somewhere in some distant land. No, we're talking about the land that starts right outside the threshold of this door. And if it happens to take us to the other end of the earth, so be it. But don't you want to take the gospel places? Don't you want your neighbors to hear the word? I got a letter this week that was just awesome. And this young lady representing her family said that they had grown so much since the year that they've come to this church that there was, she got a certificate or something, a gift certificate to go buy something in the Christian store. And she said that it dawned on her, instead of buying a Christian CD for her hearing, she caught herself getting a book by Ron Rhodes on how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. And it dawned on her, you know what? I'm growing. I can't believe I'm doing this. Praise God. And she took the time to write me a note to say, praise the Lord for Calvary Chapel. That's what you want to do. You want to serve the Lord. You want to build the church in the community to reach out to more places. But listen, the world doesn't think that way. You want to bless the world, they want to shoot you in the head. It's a weird thing. Look at the statistics. We move in, crime goes down. They don't care. They don't care about that. People have their own agenda. But the wonderful thing is, no matter what the world can launch against us, God is greater. John 16, 33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have a rough time. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Isn't that good news? Jesus has overcome the world. So the clue to winning this war is to stay close to Jesus. Next thought is, whatever Satan can launch against us, God is greater than Satan's attacks. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome, because he who is in you is greater than he, and that's a reference to Satan and his spirit, who's in the world. That's good news. So whatever the world can launch against us, whatever Satan can launch against us, God is greater. And then this is something I had to put down because I wrote in my notes, whatever I can launch against me, God is greater. I have found out that Satan is not my biggest enemy. I know this now. It's not the IRS. It's not my enemies. It's me. I am my problem. See, my tendency is, well, God, I mean, I'm doing a pretty good job, you know. I mean, come on. Gosh, I've been sacrificing. That's the worst. That is like one of the worst sins, is self-justification. If in any of our hearts tonight there is, hey, I'm okay. Now, there's that bump, there's a license plate frame out there that says, I'm okay, you're so-so, or something like that. Now, I don't know who you are, but you probably want to change that tonight. I'm okay. Listen, we're not okay. That's why we need the Lord. Well, what's your crutch, brother? You ever have non-believers tell you that? Oh, you're a Christian, huh? So religion, your crutch? Not religion. Jesus is my crutch. What's your crutch? Well, I pound a couple beers. What's the deal? Why? They relax me. Oh, a crutch. Oh, yeah, at least it's not Jesus. Hey, man, my crutch loves me. My crutch talks to me. My crutch wrote me his book. My crutch died for me. My crutch is coming back to pick me up. My crutch will never leave me or forsake me. Your crutch just makes you go to the bathroom all the time, takes all your money, makes you stupid, destroys with every ounce 4,000 dendrites in your brain. And I don't know about you, but I need every dendrite I have. Listen, in 1 John 3:20, the scripture says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." That's awesome news. I'm worthless, God. There's no way that you can love me. And you're feeling condemned and feeling like you're drowning. The Lord says, "Hey, I know your heart. I know all things." We've been bought with a price. Listen, God does not only have unlimited power, unlimited abilities. God is an undeniable ally. He says to us in verse 20 that this incredible declaration, he says, according to the power that works in us. It is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working in us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the last part of Ephesians 3, where Paul pens what we call a doxology, a spontaneous outburst of worship that comes from the depths of the heart. A Prayer for Power is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, the chief purpose of Real Radio is to strengthen you in your faith and to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. Now, of course, being in this world, doubt creeps in from time to time. Now, on the surface, doubt can be discouraging. It seems like a bad thing, but remember, even the closest of Messiah's followers struggled with it. Disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to doubting Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. Now, this is why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.